Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah. And I just want to give you a little bit of background of the book tonight and then launch into how to handle attacks. When an attack comes, how do I handle that? Nehemiah was certainly attacked for what he was doing. And I want to look at really two main thoughts. We're going to look at some principles about the attackers. And then number two, some principles about the attacked. And we'll see how far the Lord lets us get tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the music tonight. Thank you for the sweet spirit in the church conference. Thank you for the work you're doing in our missionaries' lives. Mike and Haki specifically, thank you that Walter and that church there is doing well in Honduras. And we look forward to hearing about them in Kazakhstan and the people that they're reaching there, and may many churches be planted as a result of these things. And we pray that the last-minute details will come together for Mike and Haki, and that you'll get them there safely. And we're grateful that we get to help support them so they can represent us on the field. We love you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Of course, you're familiar with the book of Nehemiah. From this standpoint, it's at the end of the captivity. The people have already been back into the city now for many, many years. And yet the place is just really in a shambles. Very unlike the Jewish people to live in a city that's really just piles of rubbish and those kind of things. As a matter of fact, today, if you went to Israel, you would see a clear distinction between Jewish communities and those of other ethnic groups. It's very obvious when you cross that line. And one of those obvious things is the cleanliness of the area. That's not a slam against some of those other people. The other people just throw their trash out the door, and the Jews would not do that. Gives us a sense of how discouraged this group of Jews were when there was still rubbish in the streets, and there were times when Nehemiah's donkey couldn't even get around the city for all the piles of junk that was around there. And they had lived this way for over 50 years. And Nehemiah asks how the people are doing, and he weeps before God. He is in a prestigious position in the Medo-Persian Empire. He is the king's cupbearer, one of the most trusted men in the empire. And yet, Nehemiah realizes, I can't stay here. I need to go back and do something about what's taking place. And so he makes a request of the king. The king grants him his request, not only gives him the time off to accomplish the task, but pays for it, which is pretty amazing, the building of the walls and those kind of things. And so Nehemiah arrives on the scene. He spends a few days surveying the city. And then we come to the text that I've already read for you tonight in relation to the building. He told them, hey, here's what God has done. And the people had a mind to work. They let us rise up and build. And so they do. They build the walls in 50 days. What they could not accomplish in 50 years, they were able to do in a very short amount of time under Nehemiah's leadership. Nehemiah then spends many, many years as the governor of the city, and really it takes him much, much longer to rebuild the lives of the people than it does to rebuild the walls of the city. In the midst of Nehemiah's building of the walls, he is met with fierce opposition. And that's what I'd like for us to look at tonight, how to handle attacks. It would be wonderful if I could tell you that if you do something right, you do something for God, nothing bad's going to happen to you. nobody's going to attack you. Nobody's going to question your motives or nothing. It'll just be a bed of roses, if you will, with the petals, not the sticky part of it, right? But that's not how it is. And so I'd like for us to look at eight things, principles about the attackers tonight. And that's why I said we'll see how far the Lord lets us get as to whether or not we'll finish this message this evening. Let's look at chapter 2 and verse 19. Nehemiah has just told the people, let's go to work. The people are ready to work. Verse 19, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, heard that they were going to rebuild the walls, They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing ye do? Will ye rebel against the king? Look at chapter 6 and verse 6. We'll turn back and forth through a number of chapters here. Chapter 6 and verse 6. Let's look at verse 5. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. So that'll give you an idea of how much they keep coming to Nehemiah. Wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it. Wow, I'm glad he's the authority on the subject. That thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mightest be their king according to these words. Number one principle about the attackers is they will challenge your motive. They will challenge your motive. Nehemiah had no desire whatsoever to be king. Matter of fact, he was, if you will, minding his own business when he heard about the distress that the city of Jerusalem was in. And God laid upon his heart to come and do something about it. And so Nehemiah leaves a plush palace job with every need he could possibly have met, and comes to a city that is in rubbish. No place to lay down. No prestige, if you will. And it is in that environment that Nehemiah comes, and yet they continuously say to him, oh, by the way, we know what's really going on in your heart. Don't you love it when someone says that to you? We know what's really happening in your heart. Really? Well, that's interesting, because you don't even know what's happening in your heart. Sometimes the Bible says your heart is deceitful, right? And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, the Lord knows. But these guys wanted to challenge his motives, and in some cases pulled out the authority card, Geshem saith it, as if Geshem knew what Nehemiah was thinking in the process. But they'll challenge your motive. Go to do something right for God. Well, I can tell you why you're teaching that Sunday school class. You're teaching that Sunday school class so everybody will pat you on the back. Well, I know why you... The truth is, none of us know why someone does something. We can be fruit inspectors. We talked about that this morning. But motive, we don't know. Number two, chapter 4 and verse 2. Chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, and he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Let's make it fun of it. Look at verse 3. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Number two, principle about the attackers is they'll criticize the work. They'll criticize the work. What do these feeble Jews do? Well, what are they trying to do? They're going to fortify themselves? Again, looking at their motives. Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Are they going to become a glorious city again? By the way, they will. One day, not this group of Jews, but they will one day. Jerusalem will be the central part of the entire world, and all nations will come to it to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What a wonderful day that'll be. But they criticize the work. It's easy for someone to stand back not doing the job and criticize the work that's being done, isn't it? Number three, chapter 4 and verse 11. Chapter 4 and verse 11. We'll read this, just this verse, but there are many other cases of this throughout the book. Verse 11, and our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So their plan was, number three principle, to try to stop the work. We're going to come among them. We're going to kill them. We're going to stop the work that they're done. We can't talk them out of it, then we'll just come in and actually kill them with the sword, and that'll stop the work. Some people will do everything they can to try to stop the work of God. Nehemiah and them were doing a good work, the work that God wanted them to do, and yet they were going to try to stop it. Chapter 4 and verse 8. chapter 4 and verse 8. Let's look at verse 7 to get a little bit of the context here. It came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, do you see how the group's growing? The criticism's growing. Heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. Then were they very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. And to hinder it. Number 4, they will try to physically hurt the people. Not only just stop the work, but they're going to physically hurt the people. And you think about why. Why do you want to hurt someone because they're building walls around their own city? Doesn't make any sense. But that's what they're going to try to do. Look at chapter 6. This is one of the funnier passages, I think, in this text. So they've challenged their motives. They threatened them. Nehemiah and his people have got a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other, and they're just going all out for them. When nothing else works, verse chapter 6 and verse 1, now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? And then it goes on and talks about the fourth time they sent it and the fifth time they sent it. Number 5, they'll try to dialogue. Hey, let's talk about it. Let's just sit down and talk about what you're doing. I love the play on words here in the plain of Ono. And Nehemiah says, oh no, I'm not coming down, right? You can remember that. There's no time for me to come and talk about it. Because everything that you have said already doesn't make sense. And all you want to do is question and make fun of, why should I come down and talk to you? I don't have time to talk about the work of God. I already know what God wants me to do. He wants me to build the wall. And he's doing that. Chapter 2 and verse 19, and we've already touched on chapter 4 and verse 3, but we'll look at it again. Chapter 2 and verse 19, we've read this as well, but let me read it again. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that ye will do? And then chapter 4 and verse 3, we've already touched on this where it said that if a fox go up, ye shall even break down their stone wall. Letter F, they'll make fun of you. Make fun of you. Laugh at you. What are you doing? You're going to do what? You're going to build the walls of that city? Oh, come on. Even if you build them, if a little fox go jumping around on your stone wall, it's going to knock it down. Again, it's interesting that those who don't have time to do the work are going to make fun of those who are doing the work. That's the way it happens many times. We've already touched on these verses, so I won't read them again and mention this. But in chapter 1 and verse 10, we see a couple of men that are the opposition to Nehemiah. By chapter 2 and verse 19, that group grows, and as the chapters go on, it gets larger. And so letter G, the opposition usually grows. The opposition usually grows. More and more people jumping on the bandwagon against the Jewish people. First, there's just a couple that begin to gripe and complain about what's happening. But as they gather around, more and more people get on top of it. And, oh, yeah, that's right. Boy, they're this and they're that. And we're going to make fun of them. We're going to laugh at them. It's easy to gather a crowd in the opposition of the work of God. Chapter 6 and verse 12. Chapter 6 and verse 12. After they tried to get him to come down and talk in the village of Ono, they begin to ask him to hide in the temple. Begin to try to make them afraid. verse 9 of chapter 6 says, "For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." I love Nehemiah's prayers throughout this book. In Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah spends a great deal of time praying before God, begging God for the direction that he needs to see in the process. And then Nehemiah, as he accomplishes the work and as he talks to the king, you find these really short prayers. "Lord, help us. Lord, strengthen our hands for the work. Lord, remember us. Lord," they're just very brief. He didn't have time to say a whole lot more. It goes on, verse 10, "Afterward I came into the house of Shimei, the son of Delilah, the son of Merabel, who was shut up, and he said, 'Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee.' And I said," Nehemiah said, "'Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in.' And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him." Letter H, it can come from within. Your attackers can come from within. This was a Jewish man that had been paid off by the people to try to convince Nehemiah, "Hey, Nehemiah, won't you hide in the temple? Won't you protect yourself, Nehemiah? If you're not careful, you're going to die. Then where are the leadership going to be?" Nehemiah said, "Should such a man as I hide? Up to this point, is God not taking care of us? Is this not God's work that needs to be done? And if God wants to protect me, then he can protect me. I'm not going to hide." And then finds out the two of them had, Sanballat and Tobiah, had hired this guy to discredit him. You know, it's interesting. I love to study wars and strategies and different things like that. And one of the interesting aspects of World War I and World War II, particularly on the German front, was that as a general rule, the German officers didn't go out and fight with their men. They stayed back and gave commands for the men to go. You'll find that true if you'll study some of that. So when a guy went over a berm to attack a new position, it was the regular army, if you will, that was doing that. The officers and those men, they were back in safety given the commands. The difference with the American soldiers was whenever a command was given, the officers were the first ones over. If a captain gave a command, "We're going to go take that position," he was the first one out of the fighting hole. I can tell you it's a lot easier to follow a man like that than it is a guy sitting back at headquarters, right? I think Nehemiah had that concept here. Well, wait a minute. I'm not going to go hide myself. I'm going to be out there on the front lines. If someone's going to die, I'll die with my people, if you will. So principles about the attackers. But number two, let's look at principles about the attacked. Okay, so what are some things that we can know from God, from his word here, that I think will be a help to us? Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, "And it came to pass when I heard these words," that is the words that the city of Jerusalem was an absolute shambles. Their great affliction and reproach, the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, the gates are burned with fire, the city is a mess. "It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And he lists his prayer here, an incredible prayer of who he was, who God was, who Nehemiah was, who his people were, and what did God want him to do. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. Chapter 2 and verse 5. This is now he's before the king. The king says, "What dost thou make request?" Verse 4. "So I prayed to the God of heaven." There's one of those little short prayers again. Verse 5. "And I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me into Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And the king said unto him," the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Can I just stop as a little side note here? When Nehemiah approached his leadership, the man who was in charge of him, he knew what he was doing. He had already well thought out these things. Here's what it's going to take. Here's the supplies that I need. Here's the approximate construction time. I don't know if they had to deal with people back then, but anyway. Here's the approximate construction time. Here's what I need from you, king. The Bible says, so I set him a time. Here's what I'm asking for. Verse 7, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governor beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judea. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house and for the wall of the city and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Nehemiah not only was asking for time off, but he was asking the king to pay the bill. King, not only do I want you to give me the time off to go back and rebuild my city, but I want you to give me safe conduct, give me the authority to pass through these areas, and king, I want you to give me authority to supply the building materials for this. You know, it's a pretty bold request, isn't it? But Nehemiah knew what God wanted him to do. He knew it. So the principle about the attack, number one, is your burden in orders from the king? Then stand on it. If you know it's from the king, Nehemiah first got his orders from God. God, do you want me to do something about Jerusalem? Lord, is this a burden that you've given me? And once he figured that out, and he figured all the cost and everything that was going into it, and the time frame and the travel and all of these things, then he went before the king, his earthly authority, and said, okay, here's what I need. And if it's from God and if it's from your authorities, then stand on it. I'm going to tell you, there was time, I'm sure, when Nehemiah thought, what am I doing here? It would have been much easier on me if I'd have stayed back in the palace. I wouldn't have had people challenging my motives. The king completely trusted me. I didn't have to sleep out on a trash heap somewhere. I didn't have to sleep with a sword by my side ready for someone to stab me. I was in a plush palace. I was high ranking in the most powerful kingdom in the world. I'm sure there were times when Nehemiah thought, what am I doing? And it's in those times that you better know, this is what God wants me to do. I know this is what God wants. And when it gets tough and you're trying to plow through those hardened fields, and when people are making fun of you and when they're challenging your motives and when they're saying, oh, you don't even know what you're doing, and when they're saying, come on down and let's talk about it, and when your friends are saying, are you crazy? You better know that what you're doing is God called, or you'll quit. Number two, chapter 2 and verse 20. Right out of the gate, they're criticizing Nehemiah in verse 19. Verse 20, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. I love how Nehemiah puts it back to God. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. Say what you want, do what you want. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. By the way, he put them in their place too. You have no business to be here or to criticize this. See ya. Chapter 4 and verse 6. Chapter 4 and verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Chapter 4, verse 17. They which built it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laden, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Chapter 4 and verse 23. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. Number two, don't stop working to do anything else. Don't stop working to do anything else. When God calls you to a job, you do that job. And that's exactly what Nehemiah did. all the confusion around him, all the voices clamoring at him, Nehemiah said, God called me here to build a wall. He didn't call me here to talk. He didn't call me here to challenge motives. He didn't call me here to be the king of this area. He called me here to build a wall, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to build a wall. Don't stop working to do anything else. Do what God asks you to do. Chapter 8 and verse 10. Chapter 8 and verse 10. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared, for this day is holy unto our Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the midst of all of these difficulties and all the things that had happened to him, Nehemiah kept his focus on God. And so the third principle I think we can learn is allow it, that is, the attacks, allow the attacks to strengthen you. Allow them to strengthen you. In the midst of all this, Nehemiah, instead of getting bitter, he got better. Instead of quitting, he just decided to go after it. Praise the Lord for that. Look at James chapter 1, and I know you're familiar with this passage, but James chapter 1, if you would please. Verse 2, the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of temptations, all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. James says, hey, when difficulties come, count it joy. Be joyful in the midst of them. Let it strengthen you. Let it have the patience, that idea of bearing up underneath a load. Nehemiah did that. In the midst of all these days of constant attacks, he just allowed it to strengthen himself. Number 4, don't attack back. Don't attack back. Say, where is that in the book of Nehemiah? It's not. You don't find it in the book. You don't find Nehemiah challenging their motives. You don't find Nehemiah stopping what he's doing to write a letter about them. Now, there are times when he says, look, you really don't have any business being here. This is none of yours. But Nehemiah doesn't stop. He doesn't attack back. He doesn't say, well, oh yeah, well, the foxes can knock your house down too, buddy. He doesn't do that. We don't have anything in the Word of God that tells us that Nehemiah attacked back. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24 that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Boy, was Nehemiah that kind of leader. Because we've been talking primarily about building a physical wall, but I want to tell you, you think Nehemiah's patience was tested building the physical wall? It was nothing compared to what he had to do in building the people. The years that he worked through all the mess that the people had created going back to that nation and living the way they lived for over 50 years. Don't attack back. Letter E. Keep your focus on God. Keep your focus on God. Nehemiah in chapter 2 and verse 20, we've already touched on that verse. The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, his servants will rise up and build. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. Chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, "Hear, O our Lord, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Nehemiah says, "God, I'm going to let you take care of this." Verse 9, "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Keep your focus on God. Nehemiah used common sense. That is, he set a watch. Wasn't that he wasn't going to protect his people. They should do what they could. But ultimately, Nehemiah said, you know whose responsibility it is to take care of us? That's God. You know whose responsibility it is to deal with these attackers, to deal with those who are challenging our false motives? It's God. The last few months, as my wife's mother has gone through some really difficult, completely unfair things, we regularly quote the verse, "Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" When it's all said and done, the God of heaven will make things right. You've been wronged by someone. You've been falsely attacked. Maybe your character has been assassinated. Now, there was nothing you could do. You couldn't prove it wrong. God of heaven knows the score. He'll figure all that out. He's going to bring everything to light. Keep your focus on God. If not, you'll put it on the people who are attacking you, and you'll spend more time on them than you will on the task that God's called for you. I don't care what you do for God. Somebody's going to attack it. It doesn't matter. You can just bank on it. Somebody's going to attack it. I'll just get on a little pet peeve here. I'm amazed at what people attack and complain about on Facebook. Are you kidding? Like, you don't have any other thing to do in your life than to write an article on that subject? Really? I've gotten to where I don't even read them because they're so ridiculous out there. Somebody's always got to attack somebody else. You know what? You're not in their shoes. You have no idea why they chose to do that. And I'm going to tell you, for me personally, and I suspect for you too, you got a full-time job worrying about you. I mean, this is a big enough job right here. And that leads us to letter F here. Love the people you're serving. Nehemiah really did not have a relationship with these people before he arrives on the scene. I love some things that he opens in the passage of Scripture in chapter 2 and verse 17, for instance. As he surveyed the city and everything that's happened there. Verse 17, he says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in." Well, wait a minute, Nehemiah. You hadn't lived in this city. This wasn't your mess. Matter of fact, the chances are Nehemiah wasn't born when the destruction of the city happened. Nehemiah wasn't responsible for those people's sin that got the city destroyed to begin with. He wasn't responsible per se for the mess the city was currently in. And yet Nehemiah thought, you know what? If I am going to be the leader of these people, this is not the mess they're in. This is the mess we're in. Right from the beginning, he loves the people. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. And for there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters are many, therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands and vineyards and houses that we might buy corn, and because of the dearth." And he goes through this whole process where the people have said, "We've done everything we can to feed ourselves and we're destitute." Nehemiah is angry that the rulers of the people are exacting usury. They're being unjust to their fellow Jews, and deals with the people. You can see Nehemiah's incredible love for his people. In chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded of Israel. And in this passage, then Ezra opens the Word of God and preaches and teaches to them out of the Word of God. Another sign that Nehemiah loved his people. Pointing them back to the Word of God. Rebuilding their physical lives was one thing. But getting them back to the Word of God, this is what's going to change your life. This is what got our fathers in a mess. They rejected this book, and God destroyed them as a result of it. And if we want to avoid that, we got to get back to the book. It's a whole other story about what Ezra did in preparing his heart to serve the Lord for this very occasion, as he was ready to go. So how do I handle attacks? You're going to have people going to challenge your motives and criticize your work and try to stop the work and try to physically hurt you and try to talk about it, dialogue, instead of getting you to work. They're going to make fun of you. The opposition may grow, may get louder and louder. The opposition can come from your friends and relatives and people like that. But if your burden is from the Lord, don't stop to do anything else. Allow the difficulty to strengthen you for the work. Don't attack the people that are attacking you. That only brings you down to their level. Just keep your focus on God. Love the people that you're serving. And the judge of all the earth will take care of it. How to handle attacks. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you can give us these principles that help us. Because truth is, if we're going to do anything for you, there's going to come attacks. And we learned some valuable principles from men like Nehemiah, who didn't need to be there, but you called him to do a job, and he stuck with the job. What an incredible leader he was. And help us, Lord, to have the right response to attacks in our hearts and lives. We need you. We thank you for it. Just quietly, heads bowed and eyes closed. Feel like you're under attack tonight? How's your response been? Have you responded to those people in a negative way? Or have you been willing to respond biblically? Maybe you really didn't know how to handle the attack, and you just needed some encouragement from God's word to say, hey, watch this and be careful here. I hope you'll allow the word of God to encourage your heart tonight. And if God specifically dealt with you in an area, will you respond to him? As we stand together and we'll sing a hymn Pastor Rue has for us.